welcome to another broadcast. We call it Plain and Simple. We're in Exodus chapter 5. Have your Bible ready if it's possible. Verse 3, we read that they said to Pharaoh, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." Now, they're making a simple request, "Let my people go." 3 days, we need to make some distance. I think it is a very interesting principle here. There needs to be in our worship some difference between how the world worships and how we as believers worship. And I'm talking about music, I'm talking about methods, I'm talking about how we worship today. We should not follow the patterns of the world. Well, in verse 4 it says, "And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." Well, it seems like Pharaoh seems to already have an understanding of what's going on, and he must have heard about the meeting that Moses had with the elders, and the elders agreed with Moses and said, "Yeah, this is what we need to do." Well, in verse 9, or 6 through 9, we read, "And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." Now, this is the sinner who refuses God's way. What happens when he's confronted with it? He gets more defiant, and there's more opposition against God's people, and he refuses the warnings of God, and once again, he is piling judgment upon himself. Well, we read in verse number 10, "And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get your straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw, and the taskmasters hasted them, saying, Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmaster had set over them, were beaten and demanded, Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making both brick yesterday and today as heretofore?" Now here we see Satan's philosophy in Pharaoh. The people, God's people, had begun to seek God, and as soon as they began to seek God, we see some major opposition from Pharaoh. As soon as we determine to seek God as believers today and get close to him, you can expect some increased pressure from Satan. There's a story of them bringing a young lad to Christ who was demon-possessed, and they were going to bring him there to get some help in Luke chapter 9 and 42, and it says, "And as he was yet coming," as he was coming to Christ, "the demon threw him down and tear him." And that's exactly the way the devil works. When you're on the direction to get closer to God, you can expect trouble from Satan. Well, in verse 15, "Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, Make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, because the fault is in thine own people." Now, rather than seek the Lord here, what happens is God's people are going to Pharaoh. They're saying, "Now let's see if we can talk to Pharaoh." It'd be a better idea to talk to God. But rather than seek the Lord, they take things into their own hands. That's exactly what the prodigal son did. You remember when it says he began to be in want? What did he do? He went to a citizen of that country. Well, why? And he put him in a pig pen. Why don't we seek God when we begin to be in want? That's probably why he gets us there. Well, we see in verse 17, but he said, Pharaoh said, ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet ye shall deliver the tale of bricks. Well, appealing to Pharaoh just made things worse. You won't make things worse when you appeal to God. Well, now what happens is God's people turn against Moses. As soon as the heat's on, yeah, we'll find out who these fickle followers are. Yeah, Moses, this is a great idea. Go and tell Pharaoh, and we're going to all go and get out from under this bondage. Well, as soon as some of the pressure comes along, we find out who's who, don't we? It says in verse 19, and the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case after it was said, ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily tasks. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, and as they came forth from Pharaoh. Then they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge you, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Oh, Moses, you're just a bad guy. You're just got us in trouble again. Well, the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If it's too hot in the kitchen, get out of the kitchen. If you can't stand and be the kind of Christian God wants you to be, get out of the way and quit being a bad testimony. Remember, it was Jesus who said, I would you were cold or hot. He can't stand this lukewarm stuff. He said, you make me sick. Just get on fire for God and stand where you should stand and quit whining about a little persecution. Well, how did Moses respond to all this? We read in verse 22, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Now he's whining again. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Now, Moses, you're getting a little bit crusty here. You better be careful how you talk to God. Moses did that quite a bit, but Moses was weak, just like I am and just like you are. We're in the flesh, and when the pressure's on, it can happen if we're not careful, if we're not grounded in the Word of God. Well, what really needed to happen here was Israel needed to be humbled. Yeah, God said, we're going to take you to the promised land. But they were a stiff-necked people, the Bible says, and they needed some humiliation in their life. And Moses needed to know how Christ felt when he came unto his own and his own received him not. Oh, yeah, we're all for you as long as you're healing our young people and you know, healing the sick people. Oh, Lord, we're great multitudes following him. But in John chapter 6, when they said, what must we do that we might work the works of God? And he told them, it said they followed him the more. In fact, in the next chapter, they are organizing to kill him. Yeah, that's exactly what Moses has got going for him here. And he needs to understand how the Lord felt when he came unto his own and his own received him not. Not only that, we have some prophetic pictures here of Israel's troubles in the tribulation period. And what happened was Moses failed under pressure. And we see that in his response to the Lord. Well, thank the Lord that we read in Psalm 103 and verse number 14 that he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Psalm 103 and verse 8 said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Oh, let us appreciate the mercy and the patience of God. Well, we get to chapter 6 here in the book of Exodus, and it says in verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Now, there's no answer here to Moses' complaint. God just ignores this whining that's going on from Moses. And the Lord says, now I'll show you what I'm going to do. And God turns against Pharaoh. He doesn't turn against Moses. He turns against Pharaoh, and Pharaoh will get in line. It says in Isaiah 51, 55, verse number 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whitherto I send it." God said, "Now will you watch, Moses? I'll show you what I am going to do." Verse 2, "God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I have also established my covenant." Now this is important. What has happened here now is the Lord is focusing on the covenant that he made with them, and to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage wherein they are strangers. Now, a covenant is not a contract. A contract can be broken if two people agree. A covenant cannot be broken. Well, what we have here is God saying, you have no need to panic here, Moses. God is going to do what he said he is going to do. He said, "I will be with thee," Exodus 3:12. He said, "I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt," Exodus 3:17. He said, "I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt," Exodus 3:20. He's already told Moses all of this. In verse 5, he says, "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." I have not forgotten my covenant. As we've said many times, God's never in a hurry, but he's never late. God's going to do what he's going to do on his timetable. We just need to sit back and relax and trust him that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Well, Moses is saying, well, things are getting worse. They're not getting better. Then God is basically saying, quit whining and start shining, Moses, and get out there and encourage the people. Well, seven times now, he says here in verse 6 through verse 8, "I will." He says it again. He says, "Wherefore," verse 6, "wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you as a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out of from under the burden of the Egyptians." Verse 8, "And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And number 7, "I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." So he says in verse 6, "Moses, I am the Lord." He says in verse 7, "Moses, I am the Lord." He says at the end of verse 8, "Moses, I am the Lord." Now quit whining and get out there and put your trust in me. Well, let's look at these 7 I wills that were directed to Moses. First of all, he said, "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now we read in Exodus 1, verse 11, "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens." Well, it says in Exodus 2 and 11, and verse 11, "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked upon their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren." Now, when that story happens here, when Moses came out, it wasn't just a couple of fellows in the street fighting. One happened to be an Egyptian, and one happened to be one of Joseph's brethren. No, it was one of those taskmasters who was whipping and afflicting them with their burdens. They were under these taskmasters, and that's who Moses killed when he went out there that day. Well, we're out of time again. We'll have to pick this up in our next broadcast. Be sure and tune in. We'll try to make it plain, and we will try to make it simple.